The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit. Good morning, and our featured nonprofit today is the Cleary School for the Deaf, and we have Dr. Jacqueline Sims, who is the executive director, Elise Becker Santa, administrative coordinator, Katie Kersner, who's the principal, and Nadine Baldio, the director of business operations. Welcome to everyone. This is a nice morning, a Saturday morning. It's beautiful outside, and it's beautiful to be talking about the Cleary School for the Deaf, especially after the year we all had. Dr. Jackie, can I call you Jackie?
Of course.
Okay, that'll be easier. Jackie, tell me about the history of Cleary School for the Deaf.
First, Ron, we just want to say thank you for having us. We really appreciate your time and the space to have this conversation. Cleary School for the Deaf is in Suffolk County, Long Island, where it started in 1925 by the Cleary family, Cleary sisters. They were teachers of the deaf in the city, and they saw a need to start a school. They started first a camp for students, a sleepaway camp, and then they started the school. So Cleary School has been in Suffolk County since 1925. Since then, we've had different superintendents, and now I am the proud executive director for Cleary School for the last 8 years. This is my ninth year that I'm starting.
Well, congratulations. And in 4 years, you'll be working on the 100th anniversary, right?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
This is going to be some party.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We had a party at 90, and then we will have one at 100.
100 stands out more than 90.
Yeah, sure
I think
does.
100 is going to be great for you. And since you've been there, how many years have you been there?
I've been there 8 years. This is my ninth school year.
Your ninth school year. And it's changed since 1925, right?
Absolutely. So Cleary School is a 4201 school. It's called 4201 because of the law, the education law that we're in. There are 11 4201 schools in New York State. And it has changed because...
What does that mean, 4201?
It's the law. That's the actual number of the law. You can find it in the New York State education law.
Okay. And what does that mean?
It just means that we can provide services for children who are deaf, blind, and physically disabled.
Are most of the children there deaf, or is it a combination of everything?
We do have the students that we have that have IEPs. We have students who are profoundly deaf and severe deafness. And then as part of the program, because we're in East Islip programs, we do have some mainstream opportunities for those students. Actually, those things started, some started over 30 years ago. The high school program, where we have our ninth graders through 21 years old, it was in East Islip School for over 30 years. But since I've come on to Cleary, we've gotten the program down to elementary programs, middle school, and high school.
Now, it's all done in your facilities, right? Or are you doing it through the school systems?
So we are in five sites. Cleary has our own separate building where we have some programs there, but then we're in four of East Islip's building. We're in two elementary programs, the middle school and the high school program.
So you're in their buildings, but they're your schools.
Yes.
And not your school, you're running them.
Our staff and right. our students that are working alongside other students in that school.
And your background, you were an executive director before this, right?
So I was a director before this. Yeah. My background comes from New York City, Department of Education. I was a teacher trainer. And then I moved into a hospital setting where I was the director there, qualified principal and administrator for all schools, and then made my way to Cleary. While I was completing my doctorate, I saw this opportunity and I took it.
Now, our principal, let's talk to you because we're going to talk about programs. You've been a principal for how many years?
Oh my goodness, 28 years now I've been a principal, yes. At Cleary, this is my, I started my fourth year at Cleary.
So Jackie, she probably knows what she's doing, right?
Absolutely.
Everything. So tell me how it is when you have the different buildings, that it's not in the same offices, right? You have to go to the different buildings where the facilities are. Is that more difficult for you?
It's a very unique situation for me. My background is working in a school for the deaf where we're all under one roof.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Birth right through high school. And what's so unique about Cleary is that the children from preschool right through high school have this opportunity to learn alongside their hearing peers. And so you move from building to building and you see a variety of experiences around how children learn language alongside their peers. So at Neskonset, which is our home site, which is the original site, the children are there and they're with their hearing peers, some in a small setting of 8 children or 12 children alongside their hearing peers. And then when you go into the kindergarten through second grade building, you're talking about 20 to 24 children and up to six of which are children with hearing loss. And then we move into the middle school site where Elise, I think you want to kind of share what that building's like in the middle school.
Sure, I'm happy to. In the middle school, you see all of the fruits of the efforts from the elementary programs come together, really, as their middle schoolers. And they have all of the benefits of being a Cleary student, the intensive work on language, but they also have the opportunity to participate in the middle level requirements, like family consumer science, technology, and other special courses. So when our students are ready for mainstream classes, they participate in as many as they can, and they also have self-contained opportunities in the middle school. And the same continues into the high school. We have students who are in many self-contained classes, depending on when they came to Cleary and their specific needs. But we also have many students who fully take advantage of the mainstream opportunities. And they are alongside their hearing peers with the help of an interpreter if they are an American Sign Language student, or an assistant if necessary, which assists them in breaking down the material needed in the mainstream, more challenging classes that they take.
So when you're talking about mainstream, you're talking about the actual high school or the actual middle school, not your school. Is that right? That you can interchange between your teaching and the teaching of the high school or the teaching of the... am I right on that?
It's almost interactive, where you have a teacher of the deaf, a full-time teacher of the deaf, and a Cleary teacher assistant together with their children with hearing loss, and they're placed in a classroom, or it might be in a high school classroom, where the general education teacher is teaching the children with hearing loss, but the teacher of the deaf is supporting them in the area of understanding the language that's being used, learning how to negotiate that classroom because it's, you know, not always accessible to them, helping them pay attention to the interpreter if they're utilizing an interpreter. So you have the children at Cleary have the best of a culture of deafness alongside navigating the world of hearing. And they learn how to collaborate in both settings, in both situations, and learning academics and participating in sports. So they get a flavor of everything.
And how are they treated in this classes? Are they treated differently, or they're fine as far as that? You know, knowing that they're in one class that's, you know, for the deaf, and then there's one class that's not.
That I'm so glad you asked that because it gives us the
you
opportunity
told me to
say
how
beautifully the program has worked. We've actually had students in our elementary classes and our middle school who have asked to learn sign language, have asked their mainstream teachers about learning sign language or communicating with their deaf learner, the deaf students in their classes. They have learned sign on their own on some occasions for those children who are ASL users, because we also have listening and spoken language, which is another program that we offer. And the relationship has been synonymous and just a beautiful partnership.
Well, you know, the most of my clients, and I work only with nonprofit agencies, they get their kids from the preschool ready for going into these kind of schools and being ready for those schools and hopefully adjusting to it well in the mainstream. We're talking about schools with Down syndrome and special needs. So that's why I'm asking these questions, because I'm aware of everything there. But how do you adjust for that?
So I think that's what makes Clery so unique, is because in most schools for the deaf, when we're getting ready to transition students back to their home district, we're not really sure if we're ready to release them when they only may be getting a teacher of the deaf for maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes a day. With Clery, we can place the children with hearing loss in a setting, be learning alongside their hearing peers, but this teacher of the deaf is there full time, and they can see where the child is having breakdowns, support as they need to, back away, let them make mistakes. And so we know, we have a better understanding of what supports they need, so that when they're ready to go back to district, they're ready to go back and fly, and we know that they can navigate a classroom on their own. Or with using an interpreter, we know that they're watching an interpreter, asking for clarification, because we're in there and we're seeing it before we release them.
So are you finding that, you know, we're talking about going from children with that are deaf, how about the other way around, that we find that people in the school and the kids aren't learning because they have problems with hearing that we never brought out before? Have you found that at all?
I think that with the newborn screening, I've been in hearing loss for about 40 years. I think that that was a game changer. However, there are children, we just actually got one recently that joined our school, that they lose their hearing sometime early on and they're not identified. And, so we do see children come to us. Also, we are having a big influx of children coming from other countries that don't have any language at all when they're older. So we're developing programs around how to teach them how to communicate and learn language, maybe at age 12, 13, 14, which is a whole new ball game.
So, Jackie, how is it for you with the way the school is set up? Do you go into the schools and meet with them? And
I do. What's so special about Clery is that we have, each one of our kids are different. Each one of the setting is different. So just seeing them in their setting and the way that they're thriving based on the programs that we have at Clery is just something awesome to see. So when you go into the high school and you see one of our students being the champion for the tennis, it's amazing to watch. Or you have kids who, when they started out because they weren't used to the mainstream setting, that they started out by crying at the beginning of the year. But by the end of the year, they are winning awards, academic awards, and doing so much better. So it's amazing to watch not just the students, but also the staff and the way that they thrive in these settings.
Well, we find children with disabilities try harder with their abilities to show that they could do it. They're usually, I don't know, do you do any job setups for them and look for jobs?
We do. We start a lot of the background information at the middle school level, which is early, but, you know, get an inventory of what their interests are and whatnot. And then in the high school, we have set up an internship program for our juniors and seniors to give them the opportunity to go into job sites, experience what it is to actually work. And we have various companies that we've partnered with. Of course, COVID and the pandemic put a little slow down that for a little bit of time, but
with
it works.
Everybody, right, exactly.
But it's really been an eye-opening experience for our students because they either know right away this is something they're interested in doing or they're not. So that's been really, really helpful, and we provide quite a few experiences for each of our students.
It's called supportive employment, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and we try to do that also. It's been slow with everyone.
Yes.
You know, on the second half of the show, we'll be talking about COVID and how it's affected you in this way. We'll see. How about the testing? Do students get better? I mean, as far as can they hear better, can they see better, or is there anything going on now?
Well, I think that when we're thinking about, when you say, do they hear better, the technology nowadays is amazing.
Yeah.
Cochlear implants provide children great access to speech, the type of hearing aids the children have, personal FM units. So, yeah, the equipment works really well. The piece that people need to remember with children with hearing loss is that just because we put the equipment on doesn't mean that they're going to hear. That's actually what teachers of the deaf do. We teach them how to attend to language, whether it's visual from sign or whether it's that they're attending to it auditorily. And that's the unique part of the job that we do. That's where it's a little bit different. So the technology is great. Their accessibility to it is great, and we have an audiologist that checks that equipment consistently, makes sure the equipment is working. So there are great strides in that way. And the equipment changes all the time. That's why we have an audiologist, because every time you turn around, new equipment happens for them. So, yeah.
And if I could add to that, the speech therapist, the amount of speech therapists that we have, they also help the students with their equipment and just learning how to speak.
What are you the most proud of for this year? I mean, after everything that's been going on.
Oh, what are we the most proud of? I would say the most proud. I want to go back to the type of programs that we have. And the, and Elise, I think you could add to this as well. I think the variety of programs and that, like we said before, all of our children are so different and Cleary is so unique that every year we look at the demographics of the children that are coming in and we develop programs around the needs of the children that are with us. So when we look at a kindergarten program, we're looking at which children can be mainstreamed and what supports do they need? Are there children that need extra tutoring? We have children that play the violin, and so they need an interpreter for violin. So everything that one of our students wants to be involved in, that's what our opportunities that children hearing, are their peers that are hearing have, Cleary provides that. They provide the service for them. They provide the support academically, socially, emotionally, vocationally. I don't know, ladies, is that...
I think everything Katie said is right on target. To add to that, Katie, I'm sure you'll agree, is that because of the unique programs that we offer, they can only be as successful as our families and staff allow them to be. So in addition to all that we're able to offer and individualize for our students, we are very grateful for the support of our families, which is very, very strong, and the wonderful support and collaboration from our outstanding, truly outstanding staff.
Can I please add, because they will never say it? And the administrative team.
There you go. This is your team, Jackie.
This is my team, and they're great.
That's great.
Because she's great, too.
I know she is. Tell me about your graduations. What are they like?
Oh, so graduations we have at various levels, but I'll talk primarily about our high school graduation. And it's a typical graduation. Our high schoolers graduate from East Islip, and they also receive their diploma from their home district. And it depends upon the unique educational plan for each child, the type of graduation that they have and where what their pathway is after
graduation. Do you cry then? You look like you're crying now.
I'm not crying now, but I do get very emotional and very attached to the kids. That could be a
I think that's
liability
wonderful.
Or a strength.
No, that's a strength, not a liability.
Thank you.
I mean, you care.
And that's I wind up feeling like they're mine, really. And I'm sure we all do. And so their pathways are different based on their abilities, where they can go from there. But they participate in the East Islip ceremony. They receive various awards each year. They're recognized for different things, and we are very proud of them. This coming year, we have 5 graduates that we're all on quite different pathways, individual pathways, some to college, some to BOCES, and some just independent type of other venues that they will be doing. But each one setting up a successful pathway for their future.
Do you, has there been more people, more kids coming in every year? Has it grown?
Our enrollment has grown tremendously from when we started and recently, actually, when
we,
I
We took- have to take a break now, so we're going to continue this right after. This is Marketing Works. Ron Gold, the name of the show, is a nonprofit voice, and we're with Cleary School for the Deaf.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit.
This week's featured nonprofit is Cleary School for the Deaf. This is Ron Gold. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. I'm with Marketing Works. If your agency wants to be on the show, you can email me at ron@marketingworkspr.com. One of the things that we neglected, Jackie, and this is Dr. Jacqueline Sims, who's the executive director, is a phone number. How can anybody get in touch with us if we didn't give them the phone number? So
sure. Cleary's phone number is 631-588-0530.
And I had to cut you off, and I am so sorry about that. So you were talking about enrollments.
Cleary's programs are so unique and different from all other special ed or 4201 school because of our mainstreaming opportunities that over the last several years, our enrollment has grown tremendously beyond our methodology that we get as a state-supported school. And so we have parents that are moving from other states, other parts of New York City and New York State, to come to Suffolk to get their kids in this kind of program. So our numbers, our students with IEPs who are deaf, are booming, and we're doing really great.
So they can get into the program during the year. They don't have to wait until September. It's something that, you know, somebody comes in, you could add them, right?
It's a roll-in enrollment.
Okay. Some of the programs that you seem proud of, Katie, was PIP. Is that what you said?
Yeah, our parent-infant program. It's such a unique opportunity for our parents. As soon as they learn that their child has a hearing loss, very often they'll reach out to our parent-infant program. And the focus of that program for those speech pathologists and teachers of the deaf that work in that program is helping the parent kind of navigate the new world that they're in of having a child with a hearing loss. And they help them to understand their child's hearing loss, how to communicate to other family members about their child's hearing loss. They learn how to actually grieve kind of go through a little bit of a grieving process. And a lot of our parents very often stop communicating with their children. And our parent-infant programs talks to our parents about, let's get you involved. Let's talk about the ways that you can interact with your child in a more natural way and feel comfortable. We visit in their homes. They come to the school building for small group and large group opportunities. We have music programs. But the focus of that program is really on the parent. It wraps around the parent being the facilitator of the learning, and that the teacher becomes the coach to the parent.
And I think the parents need it, whether it's this disability or any other disability. We see so many parents have so many problems because of this, and it's a real shame. Yeah. They didn't bring this on. It happened. But you hate to see a family break up because of that.
You know what's so unique, though, is very often once they get into that program, there's a nice little networking that happens with the parents. And what they realize, what they anticipated their child's life would be, having a child with a hearing loss, they meet other family members that their children are very successful. Like Elise was talking before, graduating from high school, having successful jobs, playing the violin, participating in sports. So that networking that happens when they're 6 months old, year old, is so critical.
Do you do anything with the Special Olympics? Are you part of that? Do you help the kids with that?
At our middle school level, we did have for about 3 years. Obviously, not last year due to the world around us, but our students did participate in the Special Olympics. It was a wonderful opportunity for them
Yes.
and their families.
Yeah, we were reading about, I think one was blind. One of the swimmers or something? Somebody in the special that
yes.
was in the Olympics or something? Special Olympics, yeah. And she's from Long Island. She did really well. What about the thinking maps?
So that's a program that we brought in based on the needs of the staff. This is my fifth year at Cleary, and I recall, and I've been in education a very long time, but when I came to Cleary, not knowing much about deaf education, not certainly nowhere as much as Katie knows. I remember the staff saying to me, you know, Elise, the kids don't know how to think. And I'd be like, what do you mean? And they explained to me that they, because, and Katie can explain this, I'm sure, better than I can, they need mechanisms in order to organize their thoughts. Katie, do you want to expand on that?
So when you think about a child with a hearing loss, you're developing language. So if you don't have language, it's difficult for you to think, because when you think, you're talking to yourself in your head and you're organizing. So what Thinking Maps does, it takes language and it makes it visual, not through sign, but it helps them kind of organize thinking processes. So things like categorizing or brainstorming, like these different processes that we do when we're experiencing our life around us. How do we organize things? So we use these visual tools to take language, model our thinking out loud. So we say to ourselves and to our students, I'm thinking about, let's say, different varieties of animals, or we'll organize our thinking, and then we apply it to a visual map. And then we can ask the children to talk off of the map. They use the maps to help develop language for themselves. So they're learning how to listen and think about how to learn language based on the conversations that you're having and thinking out loud. You take that language and you put it in a visual format where they can understand it, and then they can talk off the map because now they have a visual representation of their thinking. And those become resources and tools, and later on they own it. It becomes intrinsic. It is a beautiful tool.
We are proud of the thinking maps and the utilization within our school, and we feel that they've been very, very helpful to our students.
So, Elise, is that the answer to what are you proud of?
That is one of the things. I would be limiting us all to say just that, but yes, certainly it is amongst the list, for sure.
You have a lot to be proud of.
Thank you.
Everything
we
that
do.
I'm hearing just now from all three of you. Sorry, you don't want to talk, do you?
Mm-hmm.
We have one person here who's Arab, who doesn't want to talk about the budget. Right? She's the director of Nadine, right? Tell us how the budget's doing. It's been tough, right?
It's definitely been tough because we've been trying to, we have to work within our parameters of our New York State approved amounts. So, yeah, so we are approved. We, as Jackie had said earlier, we are New York State supported school. So we are approved every year for a certain allotment in terms of our dollars, of our funding. And so our funding is split up into two ways. We have a portion of it that we receive directly from state. And then we also have another portion of it. And the other portion of it is where we receive our funding from when we do our tuition billing to our districts every month. So we work within the constraints of within the parameters of those of that dollars.
Talk about fundraising. How has it been this year?
So we have our Cleary Foundation board. And so every year we do fundraising mostly or mainly through our golf event. Because of COVID last year, we did not have our golf event. But we recently had our golf event last week, Monday. And the numbers are still coming in. But we were very happy with how it turned out. So it was fantastic because it was my first. I'm the newbie on the team. I'm now finishing up my second year at Cleary. So it was exciting to see my first, to be part of the first golf event.
It's not easy to do a golf outing.
No, it's not.
We had the golf outing at the Engineers Club and we honored James Ricca.
Oh, good. So last year, being the COVID year, there was no virtual events, no fundraising events at all.
No, we did not.
And you count on that money, right?
We absolutely count on that money.
Yes.
We do.
So this year, did you have any second thoughts before you did the golf outing of maybe we shouldn't do it?
Well, what we did have second thoughts because usually our golf outing is in June.
Right.
And this year we moved it to October, hoping that conditions would have changed with COVID. And so we had it at a different time.
And it worked.
It worked.
Yeah,
it worked.
I mean, because if you would have done it in June, it wouldn't have been the same.
Right.
Because what we found in, and I do a lot of golf outings every year, and I missed it last year. But we did do a bunch of them from October. I'd say September and October last year, they started doing them. But they didn't do them with the same extent that they're doing now. You'd have boxed lunches. You'd have no dinner at all. It was just let them play golf. And that'll be your fundraiser. This year, and I had a golf outing at Engineers. It was wonderful. They did a great job, and the dinner part was outside, so everybody was really comfortable from the start of the outing to the end of it. And you and I have talked about it, and no one has had a problem at any of the golf outings getting golfers this year. People wanted to get out, and it seemed like it was the only way they could network. So people got a chance to talk to each other. And that's what you want at this golf outings.
And not only did we have the success of the golf day and the dinner afterwards, but also the staff, Cleary staff, yes, were honored at this year's golf outing. And it was
wonderful.
That's
wonderful, yeah. So they were there. So they enjoyed it.
Yes.
They didn't play golf, right?
They did not. But and then we had a student and we had parents as well.
So you get good support, and this is a foundation. It's not the school. What's the difference?
Right. It's all Cleary Foundation. We have a foundation board, and then we have the trustee board. And we're under Catholic Charities, so let
me
mention
that. Oh, you are
under that. Yes.
Yeah, I went to their golf outing. There was a Huntington, what's the name of it? It was great. They did a good job. I like the people over at Catholic Charities. So you also went to the True Partners event, and you liked that too, right?
We did. We had a great time. We met wonderful people, and it just gave us an opportunity to get into our community and to meet people that we can partner with, where we can be of support and they can be of support for us.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, we were really happy that we were invited. Thank you.
Well, there was networking, and that's something that has been missing from everything. People really want to get out because a lot of companies, that's the way they get businesses, by networking with each other. And, you know, I'll take my business where I'm used to always having three or four agencies that I'm close to closing that are going to start with me. During COVID, it was zero. Yeah, so now it's going to start again and work that way. So I need to network too. So I'm happy about it. Talk about COVID. What happened? How did you handle everything?
Clearly, COVID and the pandemic was an unprecedented event that impacted all schools. But we did find some unique struggles that were presented for deaf learners in navigating through the pandemic. One of them was finding the best online platform for learning. We found that some of the Google products were not optimal for our ASL students because they were not able to see their interpreter and also see their teacher at the same time. So what we did was troubleshoot early. As soon as we saw these issues, we worked on solutions for them. So that was a particular struggle. Even thinking about the type of masks that our students needed, learning very quickly that we needed to have clear front masks for our staff and students so that they can see their mouths
wow.
and speaking.
And you got that?
We did.
Wow,
we did.
Good for you.
We also had, this was the opportunity for something that we've talked about for years, as many schools had before the pandemic, was to go with one-on-one initiatives. And people would talk, what grade should we start at? Should we phase it in? And of course, it's an economic issue, a funding issue as well. But that was one of the very positive things, and we were able to get multiple devices in some cases into our students' hands. Multiple because sometimes our students needed an iPad and a Chromebook for optimal learning experiences.
So you're talking one-on-one that
Absolutely.
With the Zoom, they're not in person, they're doing it through Zoom, right?
During the pandemic, when we were not in school, yes. And then when our students came back in, we had a combination of remote learning and in-person opportunities as well, because clearly the pandemic changed education for all of us. So we had to then look at headsets that matched our students' needs. Not just buy one set of headsets for all of the equipment, but it had to match the equipment and our students' hearing needs as well. So that was a particular eye-opening experience. But again, knowing these things and acting upon them quickly were extremely helpful to us. Those are some of the struggles. There were some positives too for us, and those positive things were we partnered with an organization called the Contentment Foundation, which is part of everyone's reopening plan. There were elements where you wanted to make sure to focus on the well-being of staff and students. And this particular foundation provides curriculum in both for the staff and the students, and truly is geared toward the emotional and social well-being of staff and students. So that's been a very positive thing. We're continuing that into this year.
Well, let's go back to that. So
sure.
How did they handle that? Did they have to go to the students' houses, or they still couldn't do that? They'd have to do it online, right? On Zoom?
The Contentment Foundation is Pillars Online. It's four pillars, and it's a remote program. It's access to all the curriculum online. Our staff learned it and is continuing to learn it remotely as well. So it's just been a remote support for them, and it's going to become more robust this year. So that was one of the
So problems. Did they go through mental health problems because of the situations, because of their disabilities?
I think that was one aspect of what was happening.
I think our students, all of our students along with the families, were struggling, and you're zooming into people's houses and you have an opportunity to see how they're struggling, and so you provide even more support based on what you're seeing. So it gave us an eye opening into their lives at home, and it also allowed us to build an even closer trusting relationship with families, because we would be able to talk to them about what we saw. And I think that Contentment Foundation allowed staff to and students and families to kind of feel comfortable around that communication. Our social workers, our psychologists provided opportunities once a week in the beginning of the pandemic, where they were open for like a day where parents could Zoom in. We had meetings with them where the other staff members were not there. It was almost like a social emotional group where families could just Zoom in with those social service team, the clinical team, to kind of share information with them or share with other family members. So that was provided to them as well.
Jackie, how was your oversight at that time? Difficult.
Difficult. Yes, difficult. We were home. And so we were also remoting in from home. But there were some amazing things that happened. Like there was graduation during the pandemic. The staff, we service students from over 37 districts on Long Island, some wow. in Nassau. And the staff got in their cars mm-hmm. and drove to every kid's house.
Really?
To celebrate them.
That's amazing.
Well, not even just graduation. Every Friday, it was an every Friday event. All of the staff would get in our cars. One day, we started at 9 in the morning. We started out by Rockville Center, and we ended up out east by Santa Mauritius. And we stopped at all these students' houses along the way with big signs and pulling up and beeping our horn. And we told the parents, you know, around what time we were going to come. And we did that, I think it was for five or six yep. Fridays, yes. that was our Friday event. And it was amazing. It was heartwarming for the families and the children. I think it was even more heartwarming for all of us that were in the cars and the mm-hmm. staff. It was kind of almost like soothing and, you know, very, it was like medicine to us. Like everybody's good. And
the drive-bys.
Yeah.
Really
was,
like
you
that.
Saw them on Long Island happening with a lot of schools, but that was in their own little community. Here we were traveling all over and sometimes 30, 40 cars and trying to go down the LIE and not lose each other and getting off. And it was very, very, it was a very amazing experience for our whole community. It really was.
Well, let's talk how we can support you. If somebody wants to make a donation, how can they do that?
So in terms of our donation, we do have our website, theclearyschoolforthedeaf.org. We also, you know, as we talk about enrollment, we look at, because as we said earlier, we do have our constraints within our budgets. And so, you know, we just ask, over the years, we've counted on the generous support of our legislators and so who have enabled us to flourish and grow.
Well, I want to thank you guys for being on. We have to take off. This is a Cleary School for the Deaf, and it's clearyschool.org. Is that how it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you all for being on today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.